And by no means, though, was this a proper form, proper way to ride a bull. If any of y'all ever seen the bareback riding at the rodeo, that's about how my bull ride looked. He went to lunging down the pin and around in the circle, and I'm holding on with that rope as tight as I can get it, and my feet are supposed to be down by the shoulders, and mine and my spurs are kicking him in the neck. So this ain't really good. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but I got the job done.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hayden Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Brylan.
Brylan's made about a two-hour drive down here today. A little backstory. You reached out to me back in May after you'd watched one of the shorts, and you said, man, I got a story to tell.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you call me and find out? And he gave me his phone number, and I called him one afternoon, and it wasn't long after hearing that story that I said, Brylan, you do have a story to tell, and we need to have it on the Hayden Alabama Podcast. So, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Trip down all right?
Oh, yeah. Not too bad.
We also got Finn with us. Don't forget to introduce Finn back here.
Yeah, I'm sure at some point you'll see Finn. He's been making his way around the shed. Yeah. He's been familiarizing himself with the shed.
Yep. Picking up some treats here.
Yep, every bit of it.
Well, we've had some great guests this week, and we know that you're going to be one too. We're going to get to the storytelling.
Yes, sir.
So you've got a list.
Yes, sir.
Kick us off with a good one.
Well, you know, right out here is 65. And if any of y'all go down I-65, you know what it's like, especially towards Tennessee. That's where we was headed. We was headed to a rodeo out in Tennessee. And there's hills and things, and you can't see. And you get some hills, and all you see is the top of them. Well, we was going. I was cruising in that GMC. I got about 75, just rolling, doing good. Me and my granddad, he's in the passenger seat, and we come over top of the hill. All we see is brake lights
as far as you can tell. And I mean, I stepped on that brake and I held on that brake and I did all I could do. And by the time we stopped, I think it was a red car in front of us. And all the room between us and that red car was room for Jesus. Is about it.
Oh, man.
It was not a good time.
It was about to be no show at the rodeo.
Yes.
Yeah.
No show.
You can't get there.
Nope.
With a crushed front end.
Nope.
And there's nothing worse than wrecking with your grandparent or your daddy.
Oh, yeah. What was granddad doing? What was he doing the whole time?
Oh, man, he was just sitting there cool, calm, just...
Yeah. He didn't tell you scared him, but he was over there trying to peel his fingers out off that handle up there.
You know anything about them GMCs? They got on the passenger side, that front dash has that handlebar.
Oh, yeah.
He was held on to that thing the whole time.
Holding on the handlebar.
Oh, man.
He's real interested in your furs.
Oh, he has found a chew toy back there. Oh, yeah. Finn has. So you were talking about riding with your granddaddy, and that reminded me of a story when I was riding with my dad. I told you, we spoke earlier about going to Vance. My dad and I worked at Vance. He was a superintendent down there at the Mercedes-Benz plant at the expansion. On the way down, I slept because I had no interest in being awake at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. Zero interest. On the way home, he slept and I drove because he had no interest in being awake at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So we were coming home, been on the road, hour and a half. Everything's going good. I was feeling quite confident in my ability to get us on home. We exit the 284. And at that time, when you turn right, there was a yield sign. Well, still is, but they're doing the roundabouts, which we won't get into that. We'll leave that alone. Well, there was a car probably 4 or 5 car lengths in front of me. And I look at it, and it's yielding, but then it lets off the brakes, like it's going to continue on. So I look under the underpass back to my left. That's sawing logs over here to the right. Dead to the world. I'm still just watching this car way under the underpass. I've not checked back to see if this car really continued on to 160. It wasn't me. Like you said, it was the Lord. It was Jesus turned my head and I just happened to look back.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that car stopped dead to rights right there. And I thought, this is not good. So when I slam on the brakes, it's still traveling at the same rate of speed. And I'm thinking, this is not good. Well, by this time, my dad has come from asleep to wide awake because he is close to the windshield, right? So it comes to a screeching halt and I'm closing my eyes and I look up and I didn't hear anything. I didn't see the car in front of me move. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yep. I didn't hit anything. Well, I look at him and his eyes are this big around and he's red, fuming mad.
Oh, no.
What are you doing? There's no explanation.
Learning lessons.
I'm learning lessons. I'm teaching Shane today is what I'm doing.
Yep.
Well, I put it in park. I go out there and look. And because we worked in the dirt industry, there's mud all over the truck. There was a little, just a dirt wad about the size of a dime on the front bumper had touched their back bumper. And the lady just dusted it off. And she said, oh, everything's fine.
I said,
thank you. She got in her truck and I had to walk back to my truck or to my dad's truck with him still sitting in the passenger seat, buckled in completely.
You know what that was?
What was that?
Mud kiss.
Yeah, there you go.
I was talking about just a touch. Just
a smooch.
I will never forget that ride. The 8 mile ride from the interstate to our house was the longest ride I've ever had to take with my dad in my life. Mm.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show. I want you to take just a moment before you tell any more of your stories, because I think it's going to help the audience appreciate it a little bit more. Tell them a little bit about yourself, what you've gone through.
Yes, sir. So I rodeoed for 2.5 years, rode bulls more specifically. And ever since I was born, about age one, I've had cerebral palsy. It more affect my lower body. In bull riding terms and in rodeo, it's basically like trying to do it without being able to use your legs. Pretty much what that boils down to. And so that's pretty much what I did. You know, something God put on my heart from the beginning. And it's something that I said, there was times in my life where I didn't want to do it. But every time I saw it, it's something I knew, you know, I want to do that. And you know, if I was going to do it, though, I had to figure out what my reasoning was. Not just that I wanted to do it, but what was the purpose that God, how was it going to serve God for me to do it? And I've always lived my life by Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I realized that, I thought about that. You know, God said, what more way can I show people that through God they can do anything than to take on a sport that requires me to use the parts of my body that are most affected by my condition? Because a lot of bull riding is a lot of legs.
So you're at least 50% at a disadvantage because you can't use your legs. So your total upper body and one arm, you can't use the other one.
Yes, sir.
So you're using about a quarter of what you got.
Yes, sir.
To ride a man. I mean, a beast. God's one of his strongest animals.
Yes, sir. And he has no desire for you to be on his back.
Nope.
He's doing everything he can to get you off of him.
Yep. Yep. Everything.
So you just felt you knew you had to do it.
Yep. It's something that every time I saw it, I wanted to do it. And I had to figure out, why did I want to do it? And when I finally decided that that's what I was going to do, there wasn't nothing in the world that was going to stop me.
Not even mama.
Nope.
What did mama have to say about it?
Oh, you want to hear what mama had to say about it? Well, let's just say I ain't never seen my mama this mad at me in my life. And I've made a lot of decisions that, because I'm always the one to test the waters. My condition was never what defined me. It was just something I had, but I was going to figure out ways around it. I told her about it, and she was, I think the way we tell the story is for about a week, she didn't talk to me much about it. We couldn't bring it up. It wasn't a subject you wanted to have a conversation with.
Let's not breach that right now.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I'd always pick on her. I said, you had a vein in your forehead that I ain't really ever seen before, but I saw it that time. And I realized, I'm still in the right path, but this just might be a little more challenging than what I...
Yeah, this might be worse than the bull itself here.
Yep.
Getting mama to agree.
And thankfully at that time, I say thankfully because it worked out, you know, being 18 or 19, however I was, you know, the decision was ultimately on me to do it. So, of course, I still followed through with it. I started up in an hour and a half from here up in Boaz.
Yeah.
There's a practice pen out there with Biozo Bucking Bulls, BZ Bucking Bulls. That's Dylan and Jackie Hallmark. They're some good guys. They helped me start. They had an old bull. We called him Old Mouse. Mighty Mouse was his name. We called him Mouse. And his old spotted muley, and he was old as dirt, and he'd come out there and just hop a little bit, and I got on him, and first I got on him twice that day, but it was, you know, there's always them nerves, but it was never something that I was questioning that I wanted to do. It was, I'm in it, I'm about it, and so I that's how I got started up there. And
then riding Mighty Mouse.
Well, tell us about your first ride. You got that as a story to tell or
yeah,
not?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Tell it. I was nervous. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, let's
I,
be honest.
Yeah, we're going to be honest here. I was nervous, but first ride, I don't even know if we want to talk about that because that just did not go the way that I wanted.
Yeah. Those are the best ones.
Yeah, that did not go how I wanted that to go. That was about.
You had a plan in your mind and it just didn't work out that way.
Oh, yeah, it had, you know. You make a plan, God laughs. That's about what happened there. Was we all laughed at that one. And so he comes out there and he makes one little hop and I just kind of fall off the side. I think I fell forward because, you know, not being able to use your legs, you just kind of tip over like a little teapot.
Oh, man.
You know? So, but really, I it was more because I didn't have a clue what to expect. I didn't know what it was going to feel like. I've been on horses, but what was a hopping or bucking bull going to feel like? I had no idea. And then after that first one, though, when you kind of know what it's going to feel like, then you're like, all right, now I kind of got it, you know. So I think I made like 1 second first one, and then the second one that day, I think I made maybe 3 seconds or something. I'm like, oh, well.
Making progress.
Yep, making progress. Made a round or something, you know.
Well, I think you've painted a good picture for us to start and have in our minds as you go forward and tell some more stories. So we've made it through Mom.
Yep. Made it on our first bull.
We've made it to Boaz.
Yeah.
So carry us on forward, wherever you want to go from here.
Well, I guess we could start with, we'll say the first time I finally covered old Mighty Mouse.
Covered means 8 seconds.
Yes, covered. Right. For those that don't know, covered means riding them 8 seconds. I didn't get no one jump, two jump. I got the full ride.
All right.
Well, that took me, I think it was September the 5th of 21 or something like that. And it was 19 attempts on him before I finally got him. And by no means, though, was this a proper form, proper way to ride a bull. If any of y'all ever seen the bareback riding at the rodeo, that's about how my bull ride looked.
Okay.
He went to lunging down the pin and around in a circle, and I'm holding on with that rope as tight as I can get it, and my feet are supposed to be down by the shoulders, and my spurs are kicking him in the neck. So it's a really good. I mean, it wasn't pretty, but I got the job done. And I'll never forget, I come off the side and I hit the ground so hard, all you hear is a thud, and there goes me.
Yeah.
There goes the air in me and
everything.
But I still get up with the biggest grin on my face. You know, I did it. You know?
Did you throw the hat?
Oh, I had a helmet on. I played it smart.
There you go.
No, I don't blame one bit.
No doubt.
Oh, me.
I've seen some wrecks.
Oh, well, let me just tell you about some of those. All right. I got on this one bull. It's a big old white bull. I mean, he was about every bit of 1,800 pounds, which, if y'all know anything about cattle, that's a heavy one.
Where are we at?
This was over in Hodges, Alabama. This was at a little practice pen.
This wasn't no Mighty Mouse.
No, this was, he was all right, but this bull would buck if they flanked him. And, you know, the flank rope, little cotton rope, lets them know it's game time. Ain't really making them buck because you can't make an animal do nothing, but just kind of lets them know it's game time. Well, the guy, Sheldon Isom, guy that helps me a lot too, he had this bull and he'd not flank him. And I'd get on him, and I'd been on him a couple times before. I knew kind of what he's going to do. He just kind of lunges out there, kind of hops, a little hop or whatever, but he's strong. And not being able to use your legs, a bull is always moving forward. So guess where that means I'm always moving?
Backwards.
Well, guess where I went? He comes out, makes one or two hops, and I started him really good. You know, when you start a bull ride, you're supposed to be out over the front, you know, bold your chest, you know, get out there over the front end. And I started really good. I was out there better than I had been on any of my other rides prior to. And I actually felt really good on him at first jump. That's the only time I felt good on him. I think I made it 3 or 4 jumps. He lunged forward, and I'm way off. I mean, I'm on the end of my arm. I ain't got nothing left, and he makes a turn, and of course, he goes that way, and I go that way, and that's about, you know, that's pretty much how it goes. They go left, you go right, and I did that, and
that sounds like a square dance.
It was something. But I mean, as soon as I hit the ground, I didn't even have a chance to roll out of the way or nothing. He comes around with them back feet and that back foot, just one of them, so just a quarter of him, caught me right in the rib cage, right in the upper ribs. And when I tell you that was some of the most That was one of the worst things I'd ever felt in my life.
Yeah, buddy.
When it first happened, I was like, oh, that hurt. He caught me in the ribs. I'll be all right. And I get up and I realize it takes me about 1 or 2 minutes to be able to catch my breath.
Mm-hmm.
When you can't catch your breath to that point, you're almost panicking. You're like, okay,
yeah, well, I'm going to die.
Yeah, you're just going to move. I mean, and it didn't work. I was standing behind the back pins, you know, which is right behind the bucking chutes. I make it out of the arena and I'm taking my stuff off and I'm just, I've got a little breath of, you know, kind of mm-hmm. little thing here or there, but ain't much. I'm not saying much and people are asking me and I'm just like, nope.
Just, you know,
just the fingers, all they get. I can't say nothing because I can't breathe. And that was one time I can legitimately say I was waiting to just pass out and go and like, yep, I'm either going to wake up in the hospital or I'm waking up with Jesus. It was one of the two, you know, and we just,
here I go.
Like I said, that was one of the scariest, legit scary times for me. That was kind of like, oh no.
Yeah. This maybe is real. Maybe mama was right.
Mama tried.
Oh, and it was one of those things, you know, when you start in a sport like this or anything dangerous, you know the danger's there, but until something happens that's serious, it don't right. really.
Let's think about this, really. Bull riders have got to be just a little bit off.
Well, I've been told I was a couple times.
Because so you are getting in a situation, you know for a fact, the likelihood of me getting hurt is much higher than the likelihood of me not getting hurt.
Yeah.
Every time you get on the back of one.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a little cool perspective about that.
Let's hear it.
Here you go. He's used this on mama.
Yeah, mama. He talked to mama about this.
Well, this is something that I kind of still live by to this day, right? So if we do things like that, yes, they're more dangerous, right? So the risk of injury is still there, correct? The risk of injury is higher than if we're just sitting in a chair, right? Mm-hmm. But what's the thing people usually talk about with bull riding? It's not injuries. It's, oh gosh, I'm going to meet Jesus. That's what people talk about possibly happen, right? Well, if you ask me, that never changes. Every day that we wake up, that possibility of death or whatever stays the same. It's 50% each day because you don't know what God has in store. You're either going to live or it's going to be the end of your time. So in my mind, bull riding, that doesn't increase. That stays the same and it's constant whether I'm sitting here today or I'm on a bull. The chances of injuries are the only thing that increases.
Mm-hmm.
But injuries aren't the same thing, you know. So that's, to me, that's how I looked at it. And for a long time through my career, as dedicated as I was to it, I was fully okay with, hey, this might be the last one. And you know what? I accept it. If that's what God has in store, I accept it. And so that's kind of my different perspective that it's I like
a brave to way to look at it.
It wasn't always that easy. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say if you ever meet a bull rider and they tell you they weren't nervous, they're lying. Mm-hmm. They're lying through their teeth because we all get that way. And it's a respect thing, too. You know, and that, if you ever get to the point where you don't get nervous at all or there's nothing there and you're just doing it, you've lost respect for the animals. And that's when bad things start to happen. Worse things, you know.
Yeah.
Because then you get careless and you start, you know. When you have a little bit of respect for what can happen, you do everything the right way and you take the precautions you can. And when you get careless and you start to loosen up a little bit and that's when things start going sideways.
What was the decision you made?
Decision?
Yeah. What did you do? Yeah. Are we going to keep going or we not?
Oh, we kept on going.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to that.
I
thought that might've been a turning point.
No,
that was the next ride after the wreck.
That was definitely not it for me. That was just the start of, really, that year, which ended up being a little bit of a rough year, but I got on him a couple times, mouse a couple times, and I actually got back on that bull two more times over in Fayette. Did not do worth a hill of beans and was more scared of anything in my life because at this time, that bull was even better shape than he was that day. He was cut up and been on some good feed, and that he was pro bull looking, you know, but of course with me, he wasn't going to have a flank on him. So I kind of knew what he's going to do. And he still didn't do nothing different. He did the exact same thing. I just thankfully didn't end up in the exact same spot.
There you go.
And then I finally got to a point where I was a little more brave. I was okay. People would send me videos and stuff and I'd be like, yeah, I think I can get on that. Or I would send it to guys up in Boaz or wherever. A lot of times I'd send it to the guys up in Boaz, be like, hey, what do y'all think of this? Because they watched me from the start. They know what I'm capable of. I got on this rodeo over in Jemison, Alabama, the rodeo crawfish festival thing they got out there. And I got on this one little steer Friday night, and he was hard, but he felt pretty good. I liked him and he was okay. I didn't do too good on him because me and steer just don't get along. Because a little side note, the bigger they are, not being able to use my legs, the better they feel. Mm. Because I can kind of, I ain't really getting the hold of my legs, but it feels like I am. So it don't feel like I'm just, you know, willy-nilly. But I mean, on a steer, being skinnier, one of my legs wouldn't turn in as far as the other one. So sometimes I'd nod my head for that gate and it'd be like, I'm riding on a prayer. That's about it. But all of that and my hand and a prayer is about all I had. Cause there wasn't nothing else there. And I got on that steer. I didn't do too good, but I was gonna come back the next night and get on again. And that night we bucked a couple bulls out there just playing around after the rodeo and all that. And they had this little Red Bull. And I mean, this little, maybe 800-pound little bull, not too big, you know, not too massive. And I looked at him, and everybody was like, "You should get on him." And I'm like, "I don't know. He just runs. I feel like he'd be hard to ride because he just kind of runs and moves forward or whatever." And everybody kept telling me, "Oh, you need to try him. You might like him better."
Do you get to pick the bull you ride?
Yes, actually, for me, I did.
Fantastic. So okay, that's helpful.
We'll go back. We'll take a step back there. Not being with my condition, I never entered with the big boys on the big bulls. I was in the shows, but it was always what they call an exhibition. I wasn't in the money. I would just ride to tell my story and for the experience. And the guys from Boaz or wherever I could find would bring something for me to get on. So they'd bring a bull that I could ride just for the experience and to get to you know, ride and tell my story, because that was the whole point of doing it. Mm-hmm. And so they had something there that for the junior bulls or for this little kid the guy that was running the bulls had. And it's just a little red, kind of muley bull, little nub horns, not really, more muley than anything. And everybody kept telling me, they're like, "You might want to try him. You might like him. You know, he wasn't mean. Didn't have mean bone in his body, just a sweet little calf." I was like, "Well, he's a little bit bigger, you know. I'll think about it." Well, that was, you know, I had that night and the next day to think about it. And I texted the guys at Boaz about it and I asked them, and they all told me, they're like, "Yeah, he should fit you pretty good." And I was like, "Okay, well, I ain't too sure about it, but I got their approval, so maybe I'm just thinking too much. I'll try it." So I get there that night, and I tell them, like, "Yeah, we'll try that one. We'll see how that goes, because what's the worst that could happen? Be a little something different." Well, I'm getting back there, getting ready, and I look at this bull, and I realize he's kind of small, and I look at him, you know, he's small enough. He could fall on me if he tripped. If I come off the wrong way, he could fall. You know, them bigger bulls, they don't fall too easy most of the time because they're pretty sure-footed. He's a little small, though. I might pull him over top of me. Not on purpose, but, you know, a mistake. No, I'm just thinking too much. As a bull rider, sometimes you get in your head too much, and you're like, I'm just thinking too much. And I get on there, and I'm getting on him. I'm working with him, and I get my rope ready, and I'm tying my hand in there, and I get ready, and I nod my head, and he kind of runs, but oddly enough, he's running, but I'm okay. I'm still on his back. About 2 or 3 seconds into it, I'm still on his back. I'm like, "Oh, this ain't too bad." Well, then I start falling off the side naturally, and my free arm wraps around the front leg of his front left leg. So I'm on top of him, and when this happens, we rotate. So instead of falling directly on top of me, thank God, I go underneath and he goes over top. And at this point, I feel everything. I can feel him roll over top of me, but it wasn't nothing excruciating. Just like, okay, I'm underneath the bull. Now let's figure out how we get out. You know, I've seen bulls fall before. He's going to get up. He's going to walk away. Well, that don't happen. As soon as he rolls, my feet, they naturally turn out a little bit. Well, my ankle was turned out on my right side and it kind of pointed at the ground, and when he rolled right over the back of that ankle. And I mean, he fractured both sides of it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that at the time, but I'm more focused like, yeah, my ankle kind of hurts, but mm-hmm. I'm never freaked out during this whole situation. I'm constantly I am mentally evaluating myself. Like, okay, he rolled. I'm thinking in my head as I'm underneath this bull, I am still underneath it. My hand is still in my rope. I'm thinking, okay, he's going to get up in a minute. We're going to be fine. Totally unknown to me that there is about 60 people, a lot of friends of mine and whatever, that seen it happen, rush the arena as soon as he fell and is trying to pull him off of me.
He's just laying there.
Yes, he is just laying there wallering underneath Lee because he doesn't know what.
Taking a nap.
Yeah, but I mean, and this poor bull, I feel bad for him, even though he fell on me, because I mean, he didn't have a mean bone in his body. He's as freaked out. He's a little calf. He's as mean. He's as freaked out as I am. We don't know what happened. He just knows he fell, and now he's stuck.
Yeah,
and
he's stuck.
People pulling on his rear end and pulling on his head, and God bless them. They had the best intentions, and I think they probably did save me. But I'm laying under there like, what is taking so long? Why ain't this bull got up and tried to go away? Because most of the time, that's what happens. Right. They fall and they get up. Well, during that whole process, I check and I'm like, make sure, you know, I'm thinking he's going to get up. I'm checking, make sure I'm not attached to him. And I look and I go, oh, my hand's still in my rope. Let me take that out real quick. I take that out and finally he gets up. And about that time, I guess because he was on top of me, I didn't realize it. I had to catch my breath because I had the breath knocked out of me just a little bit. Didn't feel it till the pressure released and he got up.
Seems to be a reoccurring theme.
Yeah, that is a common thing for me. The back took a beating as a bull rider. And these people come over, they're like, you okay? You okay? The first thing I'm like, give me a minute. I got to breathe. Like, I'm sitting in the arena. And they're like, you hurt? You hurt? I'm like, it's just my ankle. I'm fine. Let me catch my breath, you know, let me get my stuff, let me gather myself. And at this time, I'm thinking, my ankle's hurt, but it feels like just a real bad sprain. No, nothing too big. Well, let's take a step back. When I'm in the arena, right, and I'm underneath this bull, one of the freakiest experiences ever. So, you know, you've been to rodeo before, I'm sure, and you've seen when guys get hurt, what do they usually do? There's a wreck in the arena, and they usually pray for them, right? Well, that's a normal thing, right? You don't think much about it being in the stands or behind the chutes or whatever. It's a very eerie feeling when you're underneath the bull in the arena and you hear the announcer go, let's pray for him or whatever it was he said. And I'm like, I'm okay. I'm like, I can't talk, but I'm underneath the bull. And I'm like, I'm okay. Just give me a minute. Let me.
But you heard that.
Yeah, I heard everything. Side note to this. This is one of the rodeos my mother decided to come to.
Oh, no.
That's perfect.
Yep. And she is there by herself. And so, thankfully, my buddy's girlfriend was there to comfort her. But,
we've answered all kind of things now. Mama was already over at the announcer station.
You pray for my baby.
You better be praying for my baby. That's exactly what it took place.
To this day, I watch the video because I got multiple different angles of this ride, but there's the video she has, and I don't like watching it because I've watched it. And when she stops it, you can hear her go like scream or whatever I fall. And it's like, I don't, that just, it's eerie. She comes up to me to check on me, teary eyed or whatever. And some of my best buds from Boaz are there. And I'm like, y'all see that? And they're like, one of them did. And the other one was like, what happened? I didn't even see it. And I told him, he's like, oh, well, you all right or whatever? And I'm sitting in the back of the bucking chutes and I'm just hanging out there for a little while. I can't walk, can't really do nothing. But we get in the truck and do we go home? No, we don't go home. Me, my granddad, the guy that helped, my buddy and his girlfriend, guess where we decide we're going to go? They go, you want to go to Waffle House?
That was my guess.
Was it really?
Yeah, I wasn't going to interrupt you, but that was my guess.
Yeah. Well, I say, he goes, my buddy goes, you want to go to Waffle House? I said, yeah, let's go.
Back here, what ails you?
Yeah. And so I was like, well, I'm hurt, but I'm not dying. I'm okay. Not to me. And as far as I know, I'm not dying.
As long as y'all can carry me in there, I'll go.
Take me in there.
So somewhere in a Waffle House in Jemison, Alabama, the security cameras have a picture or something of people carrying me or toting me into Waffle House because I can't walk. So we go to the Waffle House.
You ain't the only one that's ever been toted in a Waffle House.
That's a fact.
I borrowed my grandmother's walker thing she had.
There you go.
The next day. And well, I went to the doctor. They x-rayed it. They said, oh, it's just a fracture, but it should be done in about 6 weeks. Well, I went to a few more doctors and had a doctor of mine that was been there since day one. He the one that diagnosed me with my condition and all that. And I finally went to him because I was like, I'm getting some different opinions. I want to make sure. So I went to him and he sent me to Birmingham and they x-rayed and it was like, no, it's definitely broke. But, you know, he wanted to send me over there to make sure because we want to make sure if I'm getting this fixed, my ankle might be a little different than the average person's. We want to make sure things get pieced together the right way. Mm-hmm. And so it was definitely broke. It was fractured down both sides. So I got a screw in one side and plate screws on the other. But that night after I found out it was broke, you know, I put on a boot and I go on my grandma's little scooter. And I told my granddad, I said, we got to go back. I said, we got to go back to the rodeo. I said, I'm not getting on. I said, but I was the last route of the evening. Said, some of the people there probably think I'm dead. They probably don't know that I'm okay. So, I felt like I might need to just go show my face just to let my friends from the rodeo and people know that, hey, I'm all right.
Prayers worked.
Yeah, prayers worked and I am good. I went and hobbled around the rodeo and managed to say we finished out the weekend. We didn't get on another bull, but we made sure that weekend didn't slow us down none.
You got all the juice out of the peach there.
Yep.
Speaking of Jemison.
Yeah.
You've taken us on several rides already, dangerous rides, injuries. I want to talk about the last ride because you're not currently riding bulls now. You've got to build that bridge for me. So take me to your last ride.
Yes, sir. Well, after that injury of breaking my ankle, I was out for a while and I come back and I was itching to get back when I was down. But then when I come back, I really wasn't in the right headspace. And in this sport, you got to be all in all the time, no matter what. And I really wasn't there. I got kind of lazy and was just kind of messing around riding. And, you know, and this old bull that I got on was over in Boaz, this old Rev, we called him, big black bull. Old Rev.
His Reverend.
Name. Revelation.
Oh, Revelation.
Okay. That was his name.
That's different.
That's different.
And
he's a black bull.
Yeah. Big horns. And I used to get on, I got on this bull probably 100 times in my career.
Put you on the Isle of Patmos, won't it?
You know, yeah. Mighty Mouse started it, but Old Rev was the defining one. He defined my career, and he was the reason that I excelled at that. God putting him in my life is the reason that I excelled as far as I did. That bull, me and him just fit. He bucked a little bit, let me make the right moves, and it took me, you know, I'll tell you a little side part. It took me 46 attempts in a row at that bull before I ever rode him. Before I ever covered it.
You're resilient, brother.
And it,
46.
Know, yep. And that 46 one, I knew that was where God showed me, you know, don't quit. Don't give up no matter what happens. You know, don't quit. And that first time I rode him, I mean, that was just something that was like, I did it. Because I had about a couple 6-second rides, a couple good ones where I made the right moves and things. But this was like, I did it. I got it, you know, and it was close. But to me, I don't count close. If it says 8, I'm on it and I'm good. We're going with it. And one of my buddies, he actually kind of, he was giving me a hard time, you know, because I was struggling at the time. He's kind of, you know, kind of just being honest with me, you know. And I was struggling and I got on him and I rode him and I looked at him and I said, what do you think of that? And he's like, oh, yeah. Or, you know, yeah. But the ending ride really come down to it was I got on Old Rev and Old Rev really ain't never hurt me. You know, I've had some situations where I should have been stepped on, should have been hurt, but he always picked his foot up or something. You know, this bull knew the difference between me and anybody else that got on his back. He was old and he didn't buck very hard anymore. But when other people would get on him, little beginner guys, he'd kind of hop a little bit. But I mean, the guys at Boaz can tell you, he would buck a little bit harder with me most of the time. He would make me try just a little bit more. And I always thought that was neat because most people think, oh, with your condition, you get it easier. No, that was quite the opposite, you know. I got on him and I was just not in the right mindset. I was kind of going through the motions, not really wanting to do it anymore, but I'm a bull rider. I'm going to get on bulls today. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. And so I made myself do it and I got kind of lazy and I'd been getting kind of lazy and just kind of hanging to him, you know, not letting go when I should have and just kind of hanging off the side till I could get my hand out, you know. He ain't going to step on me. I'll be fine. That's kind of what went through my mind, I guess. And I come off and we go round and round and he steps on my other foot. I broke the right one. He steps on the left one and he fractures it. And I end up being out for 6 weeks. I say out for 6 weeks, you know, down, broken. And throughout that time and some time after that, you know, I kind of just really tried to evaluate and see where God was taking me. And I had just lost that fire. And anybody in rodeo can tell you there's the love for the sport and then there's the fire to want to do it. And that fire, I had went from a guy who loved the sport and you couldn't tell me I wasn't going to ride bulls and you couldn't keep me off of them to, I really don't want to get on today. It really ain't in me. I felt like God was just saying, you know, hey, you've done your deal. You know, your story's being, I realized that my story was still being told and I wasn't getting on. People still were amazed by what I had done and wanting to hear about that. Then, you know, why I was than me doing it still. Mm-hmm. Like me doing it feels like I've thought about getting on now and it just feels kind of pointless. Getting on itself does because it's like, people are going to hear my story regardless. There's ways to hear it, you know, being here, God mm-hmm. blessing me with y'all guys being able to tell it here. People are going to hear my story. I don't have to hurt myself to do it.
Right.
And so that's kind of where I just said, you know what? Much as I hate it, I'm done.
You're done.
Yep.
So Boaz started it.
Yep.
Boaz ended it.
Yep. Yep.
Started with Mighty Mouse. We ended in Revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That's very fitting.
Yes, sir.
Well, a new direction. So obviously the in Revelation talks about a new heaven and a new earth. What was the new direction for Brylon?
Well, for me, you know, the new direction was, hey, let's find ways to tell your story. You know, let's still get your story out there. You know, God, I feel like God put me on this earth. You know, everybody has a purpose in life, and I think your passions are connected to your purpose. There's a reason you have a passion for things. And through rodeo and everything, you know, I still have a passion for telling my story. Mm-hmm. And not only just tell my story, but, you know, two things in life I love to talk about, it's God and bull riding. So any chance I get to do that, you know, and the fact that those are still connected is amazing, and it's such a blessing. And so for me, it's just, hey, let's find ways to tell your story. You know, that's what brought me here.
To bring everything full circle before we go to the next part of the show, you said Philippians 4:13 yes, is what God had put on your heart when you were 18, 19 years old, when you had the craziest idea that mm-hmm. somebody where you were in life could have, and your mom agreed with that. Mm-hmm. But you knew that God had called you to it mm-hmm. and that God would see you through it.
Yes, sir.
And he did that.
Yes, sir.
Well, there's a lesson there. What would you, if there's somebody out there today that is struggling because they're looking at their condition, or they're looking at their lot in life, where they are, and they just can't see how they're going to answer what God's calling them to, what would you tell them?
Well, it's going to sound cliche, but it's true. The only limits you have are the ones you set for yourself. And that is downright the truth. I mean, if God calls you to something or gives you a passion for it, it may not make sense, but it's still achievable. Anything is achievable through God. It may take time and work. It may take a lot of sacrifice. It may take some pain.
47 rides.
Yep, 47 rides. It may take broken ribs, broken ankles. It may take time, may take pain, but anything he calls you to is going to be worth it in the end, and it's going to matter. And I can honestly say that through rodeo, I found my purpose in life. Because before then, you know, I'm telling my story kind of, but I'm not really fulfilled, so to say. But when I look back on my rodeo career, I'm more fulfilled than I could ever be. I am just, people probably get tired of listening to me talk about rodeo, but I talk about it because that is just such a core of who I am mm-hmm. because it's where God found my purpose. It's mm-hmm. me telling my story. You know, that's my purpose now, mm-hmm. but it wouldn't have been there without God calling me to rodeo. You know, that was the way it come to light.
Yeah.
And so I'm just so blessed. And that's the biggest thing is just keep God first in everything. Mm-hmm. If you start doing anything without God, then stop. And that was time. There'd be times that I wouldn't get on because I didn't feel like God was telling me, but I wanted to, but I was like, nope, I'm not getting on without God. And if I do it, if he's telling me not to, and I do it, I'm doing it without him. And that's how you get hurt. You know,
One rebuttal of that.
Mm-hmm.
You said that we only set limits. The only limits are the ones that we set for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that a size 36 pants has limits too.
You headed out of those? Man. Well, and man. The sad news is it's early in the fall to be headed out on 36 because you still got Halloween, Christmas.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Thanksgiving's going to be rough on 36.
That's my only rebuttal there, Mr. Miller.
But here is one good thing.
Yeah.
Is along with Christmas comes presents. Amen. And new 38s yep. may be
maybe the tree. In our future.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. We got to see the good with the bad.
Yeah, there's a positive to everything.
Well, Brylon, your story is amazing, and I would have picked anything other than that if I had your condition. I have to believe you that you did have a strong desire, a strong call into that, because you could have picked. I mean, you could have closed your eyes and picked something, and it would have been safer than what you picked.
Yes, sir.
It's a powerful story, and you're giving God the glory, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. It's all because of him.
But now you got to play the word game. And this ain't going to be as bad as a bull, but it could be funnier than watching somebody fly off a bull. So you know how it goes, and you're going to be the honorary guest, so you get to say the first word, Shane. You know, just get ready, buddy.
So first word, random words, make a sentence.
We're just trying laughing. To make a sentence.
Okay.
Hold on. You know, you said earlier you got to get your mind right. I got to get, this is the game. I've got to get my mind right to play this game.
Oh, well,
See, I'm debating. I'm debating on making it hard, but then if I make it hard, it'll be hard for me. So
it's gonna be, if you make it hard for me, I'm gonna make it hard for you.
No, make it hard is funnier.
All right.
Now you do whatever you want. I wish we had a timer because we'd really set it up. Like you got 2 seconds to respond. If you don't, you get the
beep. All right. Well, I guess we'll make a sentence with it. All right.
Let's do it. So, yeah, I'm ready.
All right. The
man
went
to
the
rodeo
to
ride
a
monkey.
Monkey?
Yeah.
When
all of
the
crowd
was
going
crazy.
And
the
I probably would have got the buzzer.
You got the buzzer.
I wanted to give you a good noun that you had to put a verb to. Okay, I'll take the loss in the first.
I about got the buzzer. I was about to get it. So I thought
he had a monkey. I mean, of all the animals, I was sitting there thinking bull.
Bull. Well, that's what I said. I had to make it hard.
You did good. Okay, I'm out the first one. All right, I'll start the second round.
All right.
Going
ahead
to
the
train
to
nowhere.
Sounds like a Johnny Cash song.
The train to nowhere. Well, Shane loses because I got my word out.
It sounds like a Johnny Cash song.
Yeah, it was a Johnny Cash song.
Okay, the train to come and going nowhere.
More than one.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, goodness.
I want to end with the scripture. So you have either a shout out or an apology.
This is your fault that I'm having to give this apology, just by the way.
Oh, goodness.
Anytime you point a finger at somebody, you got
I was pointing like this. This is how I pointed, though. I pointed like this.
This is your fault?
So my public apology has to be made to Miss Allison Brooks, used to be Hal, maiden name Hal. She was not a convenient girlfriend, Philip. Okay.
Did I say that she was a convenient girlfriend?
He did. And he caused me to misspeak at that point in time. I was the convenient boyfriend.
You're usually much more accountable than this. This is kind of sad. I'm going to need you to take care of some accountability.
Which brings us to our scripture of the day.
Is that the best apologies? Did you even say you're sorry?
I am sorry for misspeaking.
And if I said that you were a convenient girlfriend, it was that's so literal because y'all live so close together.
Well.
And you can't drive when you're little.
You can't drive when you're 7.
No.
You can't.
And your mom's not even going to let you drive the four-wheeler.
Allison was not my cousin.
Also
a point in her direction, right?
A pillar that we uphold here at the Hating Alabama podcast. Even though it is Alabama, we do not cross the cousin line. Second cousin once removed.
But not the first cousin.
Not first cousin.
Nope. Not happening. So that is my apology. Hats off to you, Miss Allison. Thank you for I received quite the backlash over that comment.
And I'm going to say that I'm sorry too, even though I didn't mean it.
That's right. There was no harm there.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like he was taking his apology back for him.
We'll just call somebody out right here in front of everybody. That's fine.
I'm just
going on with you, Brian. If you hadn't seen that we give people a hard time on here, you ain't seen it. That's what we love to do. And then lastly, we want to end with a scripture. Shane's got it today.
Yeah. Well, so we had one of our followers kind of reached out and said, "Hey, I think it'd be cool if you did like a scripture of the week kind of deal." And we're all about that. Why not? Right. I thought about the scripture in Joshua, I think it was, right? Mm-hmm. Joshua 14.
Joshua 24. I wrote it down.
Thank you for that. Joshua 24, verse 15. And it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then the latter part of that is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we talked a little bit about accountability and how important that is. You even spoke to that.
Yes, sir.
I can't do what you have to do. Philip can't do what I have to do. And I can't do what Philip has to do. We all have to take that personal responsibility and each one of us have to choose to serve the Lord if that's the way that we're going to go. And I think that scripture is so powerful and so meaningful, particularly in today's world. If we could just take a step back and say, hey man, it's not the government's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not my parents' fault. I have to choose to serve the Lord, and that's my responsibility.
So amen.
That's my take on that.
Yep.
Got anything to add there, fellas?
Well, just, you know, it's going back to accountability. You know, it's, we have to choose, and just like you have to choose to serve the Lord, you know, salvation is a choice.
Yep.
You know, it's not, we're not born with it. We're born destined for hell, but God gives us a choice to accept salvation that he's offering. He don't send people to hell like a lot of people might believe. You're already destined for that because of the sins of our past ancestors, I guess you would call it. And we get, but God gives us a way out.
Gives us a choice.
Him and his son made a covenant between them two, not between us. The covenant wasn't made between us and God. So there's nothing we can do to be righteous. It was a covenant made between God and his son. All we can do is choose to accept it. And talking about accountability, if there's anybody out there who's not saved and doesn't believe, you know, isn't fully serving the Lord, it's their choice to choose to accept that sacrifice that Christ did for us.
I'm going to celebrate. We had a profession of faith at church this morning.
Heck yeah, there we go.
Yeah. There's nothing better. That. Nothing better for a mom and dad.
Nope.
Absolutely.
To God be the glory for that.
Yes, sir.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Riley made a long trip out here. Finn tried. He did his best shot, but he was like one of those
Finn
bulls.
Finn had to get kicked out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Finn got bucked off.
Yeah, he did. He did.
But that's his own fault.
Yeah.
He wanted to get bucked off.
I'm not going to blame Finn. I mean, there's a lot of intriguing temptations in him.
I mean, M&M's on the floor, and it's just kind of...
It is a dude shed. Yeah.
Yep.
So, but that's going to do it this week at the Heading Out of Bound podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Brylin.
We'll see you next week.